We welcome you to Bible class here at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Whether you're here with us or listening on KFUO, we are delighted to have you. And we are continuing our study of the Gospel of Matthew. And we begin today at the beginning of chapter 12. As we began this chapter, this is the largest section in Matthew that you might say deals with the Sabbath. However, it doesn't deal with the Sabbath. Okay? The Pharisees want to deal with the Sabbath. Jesus does not. And we will see how he controls the discussion, okay, as we go along. We need to keep the context in mind that we just finished chapter 11 that ends with, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So that's kind of an overarching theme. There are two accounts here in chapter 12, and we're going to consider them together. So we're going to pause as we go through for some other explanation. But let's begin. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" All right, the first thing we need to discuss is the Sabbath from a couple of perspectives. We have a lot of misconceptions about the Sabbath day. It's, of course, in the Old Testament. But if we look carefully to the sections where God gives the Sabbath day, we realize that God was doing it for one purpose, but human beings have thought about it in another way. God desisted from his creative activity on the seventh day, and he gave the Sabbath day to man, to human beings, because he knew that the work of mankind would never cease and that they needed a day of rest. So the first thing we have to realize is the Sabbath day was a gift of God from his grace. It was not thought in terms of legality. It was a gift of God to people to provide them with a day of rest. So we must begin our discussion with the concept that the Sabbath day is a day of God's blessing and grace. By the end of the class, you'll know that better. But right now, we get so hung up on what we read in the scriptures and all, and we need to talk about that aspect. The the laws concerning the Sabbath, there are some in the Old Testament. It was to be a day of rest. So what we know from other passages in the Old Testament, you could not gather wood and start a fire on the Sabbath. You could not conduct commerce on the Sabbath. You could not carry a burden on your back on the Sabbath. And you cannot tread a wine press on the Sabbath. That's it, folks. That's all the Old Testament says. That's it. Now, the Pharisees are constantly going to cite other rules concerning the Sabbath. There was two schools, two rabbis, two important persuasions pre-New Testament that wrote about, tried to expand upon how you keep the Sabbath and how you can violate the Sabbath. But when we get to this part with Jesus and the Pharisees dealing with Jesus, we don't know where they got this stuff. If it's written down, it's very sporadic. It's not fleshed out. There's not an official rule book of the Sabbath that all Jews know of and have to respect and have to keep. In other words, the Pharisees are making this up as they go. By their interpretation, depending on which school, which rabbi they're following. One was a little more conservative, one was a little more liberal. Wouldn't that sound authentic? Just like today. So the Pharisees were citing rules that were not necessarily in the scriptures. They're not there. They were most interested in keeping the identity of Israel. And the identity of Israel focused on the temple, focused on that they were the people of God, circumcision, etc. Focused upon dietary rules. These are the kind of things that they were focused on. As you begin to develop your own traditions, inevitably, your focus changes to focus on rules and regulations. It by nature becomes legalistic. It evolves that way. So that some people began to view the Sabbath as something that we do rather than the concept we just talked about, the Sabbath is something God does. Okay? It's a gift of God, not something we do. So, that's what we're confronted with. Now, They are citing, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. That is, pluck heads of grain and eat. So as they walked through these grain fields, they would put the grain in their hands and rub their hands and separate the grain from the chaff and eat the grain. And the Pharisees declared, that's harvesting. And you cannot harvest on the Sabbath. But if you're looking for a rule and regulation that says that in the Old Testament, you're not going to find it. Okay? The Pharisees are trying to find a way to get at Jesus as one that breaks the Sabbath. Now, Jesus is going to give them three examples. Okay? And the first one, he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence. Okay, that's the first example. And it's only lawful, it's not lawful for him to eat it, but only for the priests to eat the bread of the presence. Okay. This account is in Samuel. David is fleeing for his life. Absalom has taken over the kingdom. David is fleeing. And his men are out of bread. So they go in. And they take the bread of the presence, which only priests should eat, and they eat it. Okay? Jesus is comparing that to the fact that his disciples were eating grain on the Sabbath. All right? I want you to skip down to verse 6, because this is the key. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Now, just hold that thought. I know I got lots of things moving here, but we'll tie them all together at some point, if you're lucky. All right, so what Jesus is saying is basically this. If God was okay with a violation of the bread of the presence, when David, the anointed king, son of David, son of Jesse, was fleeing for his life, how much more Jesus is greater than David. So, the bottom line is, Jesus is greater than David. Your rules, Pharisees, are not even scriptural. I have come to do greater work than David. I'm sure God's okay with it. He doesn't admit that his disciples have broken any laws because this is the Pharisees' rule. The Pharisees made this up. But something is greater here than David. David violated it, but God was okay because he was in desperate need. Now that's the first point. Hold that thought, another thought to hold. There is such a thing as doing good and essential need on the Sabbath, but something greater than David is here. And this is the first time we truly see the question, who do you think I am? Who do you think Jesus is? Okay, so that's the first example he gives, but he gives another one. Verse 5, or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? On the Sabbath day, the priests went about their daily work within the temple, offering sacrifices, etc. That would have been a violation of the Sabbath under Pharisees' rules. But it was just fine. It was just fine. And he's comparing that again with his disciples. His disciples. If the priests are fine breaking the Sabbath, doing their work, God-given work, on the Sabbath, then it's just fine for me and my disciples to be doing the work of God that he sent me to do on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. Because something greater than the temple is here. Okay? Second example. Again, the question is, do the Pharisees recognize the greatness of Jesus Christ? That he is greater than all this. And it all goes back. You remember we talked extensively about how you can't put new wine into old wineskins. The Pharisees are trying to jam Jesus into their expectations. He won't be manipulated. He is here for a reason, and he's greater than what they think. They will not acknowledge that he's greater, but he is. Now, verse 7. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. The guiltless are his disciples. I desire mercy and not sacrifice is a quotation from Hosea 6:6. The first thing we have to say is when he says, I don't desire sacrifice, he is not condemning the sacrificial system. Jesus' own disciples offered sacrifices. The sacrificial system was set up by God himself. What he is condemning is, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. If you offer your sacrifices with faith in your heart to God, what naturally flows from that? You will show love and mercy toward your fellow human beings. What he's saying here is, they do the sacrifices, but what's in their heart is corrupt. They're not offering those sacrifices in true love, in true faith in God. They are going through the motions. They are just going through the motions. and thinking that just going through the motions without what's in the heart makes a difference. That keeps them in a right relationship with God. Back to the legalistic view of the Sabbath. If I just don't do these things, I'm in a good relationship with God. And all of a sudden, you're into works. What Jesus is actually saying here is, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He is mercy. Emmanuel, God with us. Mercy is now walking in their midst, who brings forgiveness and life. They do not recognize him as the one who's bringing mercy. They don't recognize him as being greater than the temple. They don't recognize him as being greater than David. They do not see Jesus for who he really is. They only see what they want to see or try to force him to be. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay? He is the Sabbath Lord. And why is he the Sabbath Lord? Because he's the only one that can give you true rest. See, we're back to chapter 11. He's the only one that can give you the Sabbath rest, which is freedom and rest from sin, death, and Satan. The Sabbath rest is what he wants you to have. Heaven is described as the Sabbath rest. So they don't see Jesus for who he really is. Jesus is not going to debate with them whether you can walk a mile or a mile and a quarter on the Sabbath day and either break it or keep it, because that's not what the Sabbath day is about. The Sabbath is about God's gift to you of forgiveness and life, and they do not see it. Now, before we start the second section, I've unloaded a lot. Questions? Yeah, Ruth.
I'm wondering if I remember correctly, but with that situation of David and his men, were the priests there and did they give him permission?
Yes, Abiathar, I think the priest was there.
So he gave them permission, did he?
He didn't give them permission, but he said, this is the only bread we have.
Yeah.
Well, and they took it.
He didn't say you mustn't eat it.
No, he didn't say you mustn't eat it. Yes.
I looked at that passage, and the priest made an exception, but he insisted that David's soldiers be clean at that point. And then he said that he kind of made the exception and let them eat the bread. So a priest was making an exception over actually a law of the
Correct.
Old Testament.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what's going to come up. Is there an absolute emergency need on a Sabbath that you can take care of? Is healing on a Sabbath okay? See, that's what we're going to get to in the second one. And the general thought would be, any sane person would say, yes, it's okay, except the Pharisees. Okay? Except the Pharisees. And they want to make it harsher than God does. Okay? Other things. Yeah, here's one.
I was just going to comment. So in the Mark version of this, that's where it says, for the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath.
Correct. Yes, the Sabbath was made as a gift to man, not man to legalistically keep the Sabbath. Okay? Yes, James?
In verse 6, when he comment, do you think that that goes over the heads of the Pharisees?
I don't know if it's over their heads, but they certainly weren't going to admit it. There's no way this guy is greater than the temple. That would have been off the charts for them. Too much. Too much.
When we're talking about the Sabbath day, the third commandment comes to mind, Pastor. Yeah. So how does that factor in, or is that applied here?
It does, but I'm going to answer that in a few minutes. Yeah, I'll get there. Let's go ahead and look at the second account, and then I'll begin to put this together. Okay, he went on from there and entered their synagogue. A lot of commentators believe this all happened in one day. Okay? Same day. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, that's the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Most sane people would have said yes. Okay? So that they might accuse him. He said to them, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? So now the example he's giving is, there's none of you who own a sheep. And that's an important thing in your wealth, that if it fell in a hole, you're not going to pick it up and bring it out on the Sabbath. That's just common sense. It's just common sense. Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Now, he just nailed them there, okay? We're done here. Pharisees are done. He just nailed them. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. No place in the scripture does it ever say it wasn't okay to do good on the Sabbath. It's not in there. So again, Jesus is saying their concept of what the Sabbath is wrong. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored healthy like the other. All right, now. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Nobody thinks anything of that but the Pharisees. It is fine to do good on the Sabbath. It is not breaking the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is not what it's being played out to be. The Sabbath is God's gift to us. Now, before we read the last line, we're gonna talk about this. God wants you to have Sabbath rest. Now, what does that really mean? Well, first of all, we have to deal with the whole topic of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was Saturday, folks. Sunday was the first day of the week. Jesus Christ rose on Sunday, and it became to be known as the Lord's Day. So it's not just the Sabbath. It's not just one day. Okay? Many of our thoughts on the Sabbath and keeping God's day revolves around us going to church. And we really feel like if we go to church on a Sunday, we have done what God would have us do. For a whole 1 hour. For a whole 1 hour. Out of a week. If you come to Bible class, we'll give you credit for 2 hours. God wants you to have His rest now in the New Testament because of the resurrection of His Son. It's not just one day, 1 hour. He wants you to have it all the time. The third commandment is now blown up because the Sabbath for the Christian is every day. The most important thing about our observance of the Sabbath when we come to church is not it has nothing to do with you. God doesn't need your worship. God doesn't need your lousy hymn singing. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need any of that. That is simply our response. The most important thing about the Sabbath day, our observance is that on that day, as we said to begin with, it's a gift of God to us. What we experience in worship is God's gift to us. Why do you think we call it divine service? Because the real servant in worship is God comes to serve us. God comes to serve us through His Word. A word of forgiveness and life. God comes to serve us in baptism. And as a reminder of our baptism, when He claimed us to be His own and made a covenant with us that we are His child forever and have the full forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. God serves us when we go to the communion rail and there He gives us the very body and blood of Christ given and shed at Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins, for the strengthening of our faith, and for life everlasting. God is serving us. He is giving us our Sabbath rest. The gifts of God is what give us Sabbath rest. And we don't have to just say we get those 1 hour, because now we have the Word of God every day. We have the Word of God every day. We have our baptism every day, in which God comes to serve us. If we see Jesus for who He really is, He is our Sabbath rest. He's the one that brings us the rest. Okay? Therefore, what Jesus is trying to get the Pharisees to see is that the Sabbath is not about keeping rules and regulations. The Sabbath is about Jesus Christ and the gifts that He brings. That's what the Sabbath is about. And they do not recognize Jesus as such. That's not within their frame of reference, their box. So He's not fitting in to their old wineskins. He won't be forced to do that. He is bringing something greater than the temple, greater than all their traditions. He is bringing them. He is the Sabbath rest. Last sentence. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against Him how to destroy Him. From this point on, there is tremendous opposition that is growing to the ministry of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's from this verse on. Because he has made claims they absolutely will not accept. That He is greater than David and the temple. And so they do not see Jesus for who He really is. They never will. And the opposition begins to grow that will ultimately lead to the cross. Ultimately lead to the cross. Read the first part of verse 15. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Jesus has been sent by God to bring the salvation of the world. It will be done on God's timing and in God's way. And it's not time yet. Therefore, Jesus withdraws. It's not time. His time has not yet come. And so He withdraws. And so we have this these 14 verses teaching supposedly about the Sabbath, but what's really being taught about is a continuation of what we talked about in chapter 11. Do you recognize who Jesus Christ is? do you see his identity? And the battle lines have now been drawn. The Pharisees don't see it. Pharisees don't see it. Yeah, Ruth, we ready? Mark?
I keep looking at that word heal. They asked, you know, is it lawful to heal? And I think it's strange that they would ask about healing, because healing is supernatural. And they wanted to believe that he was just an ordinary man. He's not God.
They did.
On the other hand, I guess they had heard stories about him healing, so it probably was a means of entrapping him.
Trying to trap him, yeah. Yes.
But I just think they're actually admitting that there's something supernatural going on with him when they use that word.
There is.
Right?
And you know, it's one of those things when you see people, they sit there and watch something, and then they ask a stupid question like that. And you say to yourself, how can they be that stupid? It's spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness is a horrible thing. Totally clouds the heart. Totally clouds the heart. Okay, any others? Yeah, Don?
So when you go to Jerusalem today, so the people there, they're still following all the rules of the Pharisees, because, I mean, for example, in an elevator, it stops every floor and so forth. So are they're still hung up on all those individual rules?
Yes. Some of them are. The Orthodox Jews may be, yes. They are.
So they don't look back at what the Old Testament said then, like you mentioned.
No, because, you know, that's the one thing that you have to be careful of in any religion, including Christianity. You have to make the difference, the discernment, what is God's word and what is human tradition. Okay? Human tradition, if it gets out of control, can become Word of God. And suddenly you're doing it because, well, that's the way we've always done it. As if it was written in the Bible somewhere. Well, show me. So it can get out of hand. And it can mislead horribly. Yes, sir.
So this idea of the good you do for your neighbor flows out of the Sabbath rest and Christ being the Lord of the Sabbath. So if I'm a farmer and my neighbor farmer, for some reason or another, can't get his field plowed, so I decide instead of going to church on Sunday, I'm going to plow his field, even though I could plow it tomorrow or whatever like that. That's a misuse. I mean, I've got this upside down, right? Similar to the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Levite and the priest who passed by the person who was in need.
Correct.
Maybe even Mary and Martha. Mary said it.
Well, the thing is, those are questions. You know, if I was the pastor of a church in the rural community, and a farmer came to me and said, I wasn't here last week because my fellow farmer, you remember how bad it rained last Sunday night? And I helped him harvest his field before the rains came. I'm sorry. I said, you got nothing to apologize about. Nothing whatsoever. You reached out in love, just like Jesus would want you to. Hey, Paul.
Having been a pastor in a farming community with really strong views, that was really an issue. They didn't farm during the springtime. They on Sundays they did nothing. You couldn't cut your grass. You couldn't wash your car. You couldn't do anything on Sundays in that area.
Okay.
But I would remind the people of the wisdom of Martin Luther and his explanation of the third commandment in the Small Catechism. He doesn't say you have to go to church. He doesn't say you can't do this, this, or this. All he says is don't despise God's word. Don't despise the gifts that God has given you in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And that's not just a one day a week thing. As you said, that's every day, a lifetime.
That's every day. Basically, Luther said the third commandment doesn't apply to us because we don't keep the Sabbath anymore. But here's what does. Here's what it truly means for us now as New Testament Christians. Anything else? Yeah, bud.
Just a note that that's the second time that he's used that Hosea 6 quote. The other time it was earlier when he was healing someone. And that is a very powerful section of Hosea that's very messianic to begin with. And I just wanted to point that out, that that's an important reference.
It's very important. Very important quote. Whenever you see something said multiple times or quoted multiple times in the Bible, pay special attention, because when they repeat it over and over again, this is important. This is important. Okay, now, as we continue next week, we'll get into one of the things that Ruth was talking about. They knew that the healing was spiritual. Only they go off the wall with it. They don't give Jesus the credit for being spiritual. They said he's doing this by Satan's power. That's how bad it was. And we'll pick that up there next week. Okay, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.